Philippians chapter 1. As the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, one of the I Ams that he claimed is that I am the light of the world. And one of the things that Jesus Christ did is came into this world to show them the way of salvation and to proclaim the gospel and to demonstrate what God accepts and the type of righteousness that God approves of. He also said to his disciples that ye are the light of the world. So we've come to this conclusion that now as Christians, we are to manifest or display a light similar to that, what Christ did. So our lives are not to blend in or just kind of become part of this world, but our lives are to stand out. We are to try to make a difference by the way that we live this life. And as Christ gathered with his close disciples in that upper room, John 13 through John 17, he really began to focus on what way I think that light can be best demonstrated. And he says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So he's saying there is something that's going to make you stand out in this world. And aren't we living in a world filled with hatred, resentment, trying to retaliate? He says, this is how people are going to know you're my disciples. This is going to be that signature. This is going to be that light. If you just love each other. In fact, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then at the end, he records that high priestly prayer. And part of that prayer is that ye may be one as we are one. One of the prayers is that the followers of Christ would be unified, would love each other, and through that love would demonstrate who God is. So I want to talk to you this morning from this passage, Philippians chapter 1, about love in the Lord always. Now, I have titled that because we are to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And this part of the message is about loving in the Lord always. And again, I say love. Let's go to the Father in a word of prayer. Your Father, coming to you in Jesus' name. One of the things that we quickly recognize throughout Scripture is how much you love your Son. And beyond that, how much you love the world. The first thing that I see that your Son ever said about you is John 3:16, that you love the world. You are love. And you said that when we know you, then we can know what love is. And you want to demonstrate who you are through us, by us loving each other. And Paul made it really clear, this included all the saints. And so, Father, help us. We're going to need help with this. Yeah, I know, you've given us the help. We'll talk about that. But you've called us to love each other. And so, first of all, we need you to convict us about that. Whether or not we're loving, whether or not there are some we're not loving, and then we need your help to love. So we first need that doctrine, but then we need that grace. We need that help so that we can fulfill this righteousness which you require. And only then do we show that we really love you. So guide in this message. May it speak loudly, and may our hearts be challenged by your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul's writing to a church that he had helped to establish on his second missionary journey into Asia Minor. This church took on a unique relationship with Paul, and I think that is true of churches. I recently went to the memorial service of Vicky's dad, and Vicky's dad was a pastor in this area and several churches in different areas, but also an evangelist. And one of the things that came out in that memorial service is that there developed this love relationship between her dad and the churches that he went to, and vice versa. And there are churches that have just a special relationship with various evangelists or pastors that may come and present the word. And no doubt they loved Paul because he was there from the beginning, but I think it went beyond that. And this church developed a love relationship with Paul. I don't think that was ever in doubt. I don't think that was ever in jeopardy. Not as like it was maybe with the church of Corinth, where Paul had to kind of defend his apostleship. He never had to do that with the church of Philippi. It seemed like they endeared themselves to him, and he endeared himself to them. And so God was demonstrating who he is in this church in part by that love relationship that was going on between Paul and the people of the church. So I want to see, first of all, I have 2 points this morning. I want to see, first of all, that love is an essential part of the body of Christ. Love is an essential part of the body of Christ, meaning for this to be the body that it ought to be, there needs to be the love that God wants us to have. We're going to start with verse 7. This message is taken from verses 7 to 9. The message next week will be toward the widows, and the week following is going to be from verses 9 to 11. But let's look at verse 7, beginning with verse 7. He says, even as it is meet for me to think this of you. Wait, to think what of you? Well, it's been a little while since we covered that. So let's back up. I think that phrase there, to think this of you, goes back to verses 3 through 5. So let's just look at them for the sake of time. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And when I preached that message back on the last Sunday in January, I took us back into the book of Acts in the 16th chapter when Paul first went there to Philippi and saw some of those relationships that he established there. And he says there developed a fellowship in the gospel from the first day that is continuing even unto now. So he said, I think it's fitting. I think it's right. I think it's appropriate for me to think this of you all, verse 7, because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense of the confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. And so Paul said, we've developed this special relationship in part because of the suffering I've gone through in order to deliver the gospel to you. And you accepted the gospel and you became partakers of my grace and partakers of the ministry of the gospel, the apostle Paul. And so he goes on to say in verse number 8, For God is my record. So he said, I'm not exaggerating. I think sometimes an evangelist comes in and he says, man, you're my favorite church. And I'm thinking, I wonder how many churches he says that to. In fact, Vicki, I can kind of picture your dad saying that to a number of churches. He loved a number of churches out there. And man, he would say, you're one of my favorite churches. And I believe that to be very true. And Paul says, you know what? God's my record, how greatly I long after you all. It's a phrase he uses 7 times, you all. There wasn't just a couple people in this church that Paul liked. There wasn't just a select few that Paul just seemed close to. I think Paul just loved this church. And he says, God's my record, how greatly I long after that desire to be with, that desire to be close to. He's now in prison. He's writing to them from prison. But his true desire was to be with them. In fact, we're going to see that in just a little bit, hoping to come to them shortly. He says, but I long after you all. You see, when the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, one of the fruit that He will display is the fruit of love. In fact, in your mind, thinking maybe of Galatians chapter 5, without taking the time to go there, for the fruit of the Spirit is, what's the first part of that? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance. Above such, there is no law. So you see, when the Spirit of God is at work in our hearts, it's going to be evidence, and that evidence is seen initially in love. You see, in fact, if we're not loving each other, then the Holy Spirit is not actively at work in our hearts, or not actively being demonstrated in our hearts. I've looked at that, the works of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. And, you know, the plural of the works versus the singular of the fruit. And I got thinking about that. If someone would sin against me, I may have the opportunity to commit one of those works of the flesh, but I found this, when you go through that list, and we won't go through it now for the sake of time, you can't do all those things at once. You kind of pick one and maybe do that and pick another and do that, but you can't do them all at once. But you know what? In the fruit of the Spirit, you can demonstrate all of them at the same time. So if someone sins against you, you're able to demonstrate to them love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temper. You're able to demonstrate all of that fruit, singular, at the same time. By the way, you can't pick your fruit. You can't say, I'd like to demonstrate this part and not that part. No, they all go together. So when the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, we're going to be demonstrating this love. In fact, if this love isn't being demonstrated in our lives, then our relationship issue is not with people, our relationship issue is with God. Because we're not allowing Him to love that person through us. In fact, it comes that way. It wasn't that Paul was loving those people through Christ. The reality of it is this: Christ loves people through us. Christ wants to demonstrate His love to other people, and He wants to do it through us. And so Paul teaches that. Listen to this verse in 1 John. In fact, while I'm talking about this verse, which is included on your study sheet, so let's go, if you have your study sheet before you, look at 1 John 3, where it says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He said, we know that we're saved if we love brethren. In fact, if you're having trouble loving other Christians, in a sense what the Bible's saying, you better check on your own salvation. Because one of the evidences that I'm saved is that I'm able to love the brethren. I'm able to love the brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, saying that, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians and let's go to chapter 3. Because this is something that Paul brings up to another church. And this is probably going to be my next book of study that I present to you after the book of Philippians. It's one that just I've thoroughly loved for about the last 8 years and have read through it countless times. The book of 1 Thessalonians. In fact, for tonight's message, I'm going to be reading the third chapter. The chapter I'm reading from right now, and to begin with, I'm going to be reading that and presenting the ministry there tonight that we had in Romania. Look what it says, beginning of verse number 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love toward one another. Wait a second, did you see the beginning part of that verse? So when we talk about loving one another, we can't come up with this excuse, I can't do it. I can't love that person. It's not based on you. It's not dependent on you. You might say, humanly, I can't, but you know what? God can. And God wants to love that person through you. And so notice again the wording of that verse. The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do towards you. So he says, I want God to work in your heart so that you get to the place where you can love everybody just like we've gotten to the place where we love you. Again, Paul didn't just like the church of Philippi. He loved these people in the church of Thessalonica as well. Look at verse 13. To the end, to this conclusion, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. So what's this verse saying? Well, if I don't love everyone in the body of Christ, and if I'm not demonstrating love, if there's someone I'm withholding love from, then I'm not standing unblameable in holiness. You know what? That's the way he wants to present us. He wants to present us without spot and without blemish. And so if people are going to see us as being different, they have got to see us loving each other. They've got to see us demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit with each other. Folks, this isn't seen in the workplace. This isn't seen in the ball fields. This isn't seen in neighborhoods. But this ought to be seen in the body of Christ, where we, as a body of believers, are demonstrating love to each other. It's a shame that we get so comfortable that we don't feel like we have to do that. He says, you know what? Here's the end. If you obey that, then you can establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God and our Father at His coming, or at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. Look at chapter 4, verse 9. Still in 1 Thessalonians. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. He says, you've learned this from God. You really don't need us to talk to you about love. Because if you read the Bible, and if you hear the messages of the Word of God, you've learned from God, you're to love each other. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. So he says, you know what? There are Christians you really love. But what he's focusing on is the ones in the body. You know, isn't it amazing? There are some people, we just love them. We love them every time they come by. We love them every time they visit. We love them every time we have the opportunity to see them. But part of it is because we don't live with them all the time. It just seems so easy. We're not seeing them all the time. We're not doing all kinds of things with them. Do you realize if those people ever moved and became part of the church after a while, it probably wouldn't be the same? And he says, you have this testimony. Man, you love other people. But where you're failing right now is your love for each other. Paul was convinced they thoroughly loved him. But Paul wasn't thoroughly convinced they thoroughly loved each other. And so here he's writing to this church of Thessalonica, and he says, indeed, you do it toward all the brethren that are in Macedonia, but here's where I want you to increase more and more. You know, I thought about bringing a glass this morning and a glass bowl and have the glass have some water in it. And just like that's just like us. Sometimes we have some love in us, but he said, "I don't want just love in you. I want it overflowing out of you." He said, "I want that to be something that you see more and more in you. I don't want your glass just half full of love. I want you abounding in love." Look at verse number 11. Yet, and that ye study, okay. He's going to meddle with us a little now, okay? You ready for this? He actually wants you to study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work in your, with your own hands. As boy, he's getting a little bit personal, isn't he? Do you know why? Because this is one of the key things that keeps us from loving each other the way we ought to. Getting ourselves into each other's business. Meddling. He said, I want you to learn to be quiet. You know, there's times you know something, you don't have to tell everybody about it. I shouldn't tell anybody about it. He said, I want you to work on this. Look at chapter 5 yet, verse number 8. It's getting really quiet in here. So we better move on. Might have to set up a campfire and stay there for a while. Chapter 5, look at verse number 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet the hope of salvation. And so again, one of the key things that he wants to put on is love. And so as a Christian, let's go back to Philippians chapter 1. As a Christian, not only to this church of Philippi, but also the church in Thessalonica, he says, you know what? This is some key component that needs to be in your life so your light can so shine. And it's that component of love. I want you to understand, this is essential for the body of Christ. So then let's look at, secondly, how love is to be expanded in your part of the body of Christ. This is a part in you that is to grow. What would it look like if we all actually loved each other? What would it look like? Wouldn't this be the most awesome place to come to? Wouldn't you all look forward to coming here every Sunday, morning, evening, Wednesday, every time you could? Wouldn't you love to just come here if everybody just loved each other? I mean, there are times you develop friendships and fellowships and you just can't wait to see each other again. Why? Because, man, you just have the best time. You get along so well. Wouldn't it be awesome if the body of Christ loved each other? It shouldn't be a foreign concept. And this is what he's trying to drive home. Look what he says in verse number 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more. He sounds like he's writing again to the church of Thessalonica. He says, I know that you love, but I want you to love more. He says to the church of Philippi, he says, and this is what I'm praying about. By the way, this is one of my prayers. I didn't ask Pastor Terry, but I'm sure it's probably one of his. And we'd love each other more. You say, but yeah, but so-and-so. Yeah, but what about you? You say, but yeah, but they do this. Yeah, and what do you do? None of us are perfect. We're all growing. That's what the message was about last week. That's why part of the fruit of the Spirit is to be long-suffering. Because we aren't perfect. Everybody can't be like Pastor Terry. There's only a few people that are that perfect in this world. And so, what we need to be doing is recognize, you know what? I need to be working at this. I need to be trying to love more. And how do I demonstrate? What will that look like in my life? And one of the things that he brings out here is caring for each other. Just caring. When something happens in someone's life, we ought to be caring about them. The Bible says we ought to rejoice when they rejoice, and we ought to weep when they're weeping. We ought to be demonstrating a care. One of the things that Paul showed to this church and what this church showed to Paul, hey, we care. While Paul was journeying, they were sending money and they weren't a rich church. They were a poor church. But they were sending money to Paul. That was a sacrifice showing they cared. Paul, when he wasn't able to be there, he still cared about them. In fact, look here, if you would, with me. Look at verse number 1, where he says, or verse number 8, where he says, I long after you all. Look at chapter 2 for a moment, verse 24. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. He wanted to go visit that church. Again, he loved them. He longed for them. But I trust in the Lord that I, verse number 25, yet I suppose it necessary to send Epaphroditus. He said, you know what, I really want to be there. And because he cared and couldn't be there, he's in prison at the time, he said, I'm going to send somebody else to be there. So Paul cared about them. And while he couldn't minister, while we were in Romania, a tragic event happened in our Karen's family. That basically I don't think anybody in the church knows about. The thing that really bothered me is I couldn't be there. And there were, when we were in Romania, we could only text when we were in the house on Wi-Fi, and we could only text to those who had same exact type accounts, so iPhone to iPhone. And so the parts closest to the family, we couldn't contact. Boy, that bothered me. And so we end up arranging it through some of the family members to be able to FaceTime with one of Karen's siblings. And I was glad we could do that. Because I text when I got back. I said, I'm sorry. I know there's nothing I can do, really. But I wanted to be there. I wanted to just show we care. And so it was hard being thousands of miles away in different time zone, not being able to have any connection. And the body of Christ needs to care. And as somebody goes through, I love this widow's ministry that Karen presented, you know, today. And this is part. But we not only want to make sure our widows and our seniors know their care, we need to care for everybody in the body of Christ. We can't say, because you're the foot, I have no need of you. Part of it, part of showing you care is just fellowshipping. Sometimes we just get caught up in our world. I'm hoping to end a couple minutes short today and just say, hey, you're dismissed, but don't go anywhere. Because sometimes we just run out the door and we run to the next place. Let's show we care. He says, you know what? I can't be there, but I'm going to send somebody. And to me, that showed he cared. And he's in prison. He could just be wrapped up, hey, I'm in prison. I got a good excuse. But he said, look at verse 26 about Epaphroditus. For he what? I wanted to send him because he longed after you all as well. Here's somebody with his own heart. So one of the ways that you can show you care. Different things might happen. I appreciate some ladies this past week that put together some meals for different ones that were going through a difficult time and just delivered some meals this week. Praise the Lord. It's a way, and they're demonstrating care for the body of Christ. Paul said this. He says the Church of Corinth, he says that there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. God wants us to care for each other. This place ought to be the most loving and caring place in Denver. And anyone who comes here ought to feel loved and cared for. Now, that may mean we got to break out of our comfort zone a little bit. But we do so because it fulfills God's desire in us. Now, Peter talks about something else this passage doesn't talk about, but I wanted to add in there. Peter talks about, you know how we also show that we love each other is by forgiving each other. Peter writes it this way, but the end of all things is at hand, but be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer and above all things. So he's saying more importantly than prayer Have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity covereth a multitude of sins. I never really thought about that. That's really actually more important than prayer. But the reality of it is, the Bible says, if we aren't willing to forgive each other and cover each other's sins, then He won't hear our prayers. So it is more important. So not only should we be caring for each other, we ought to be charitable toward each other and obeying the Scripture where it says, put off and be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. You know, I talked about the steps last week, and I'm tempted to bring Brother Butch up here. I want to know what else he's done in his life. I enjoyed exposing his sins. And I'm not going to do that, Brother Butch, because Daniel, he looks so highfalutin up here. But you know, sometimes as a church, I think the church of Philippi was really on the top step when it came to giving to missions. I mean, they were doing really well, and their care and love for Paul, man, they were top notch. But when it came to loving each other, there was some room for growth. You know, when I look at this church, I think we're doing really well for missions. I praise the Lord. Many of you really have a burden for missions. The faith promise, or grace giving, as we like to call it, has increased again this year. And we've taken on some new missionaries and have increased some support of some of the missionaries. I think we're doing really well in that area. And I think our showing of care, a number of our missionaries come here and say, you know what, your church writes to us more than our home church writes to us. And I praise the Lord. There seems to be that we're doing well. But you know what? I think we need some improvement on loving each other. You know what? It needs to start here. It needs to start with Pastor Terry. And we need to start loving the body of Christ more. Demonstrating. We're to be an example of the believer. And that's in caring for each other and forgiving each other. Let our light so shine. May others see how we have a fervent love for one another. We have the same care one for another. And through that, others will see we are the followers of Christ. Say, Pastor, I really struggle with some of this that you're talking about. I do too. That's why we have preaching like this. To where we recognize, you know what? I'm not lining up with the Scriptures. I'm looking into the perfect law of liberty. Now, I have two options. I can either see that I'm messed up and just walk away, or I can say, Lord, I need your help. Let's bow our heads. Let's right now say, Lord, I need